someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you are all keeping very well. Okay, so on the show this morning, we have a special guest. We have Margaret Holvik. Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Margaret's an expert in essential oils, which I must admit is a subject that I don't know a huge amount about. So I'm quite fascinated with what she does and looking forward to hearing more about oils and how they can help people. And we'll be interviewing Margaret in about 25 minutes. So as we go through the show this morning, just to cover a couple of housekeeping rules, the purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to help to educate people, to inform them and to enlighten them as to ways that you can improve your own health with some simple tips and advice. Each week, I have a special guest on, and we discuss their specialism and how what they can do could also help you as well. And just a quick caveat, all the content that we discuss is for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience, my research, and very often my own opinion as well. So please do not take any of the content that we discuss as a substitute for proper treatment or a discussion with your medical practitioner. And if you have any concerns about your general health, you should speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be your local pharmacist and doesn't necessarily have to be your doctor. Okay, so this morning, as I say, we're going to talk about health-related subjects. The main topic of discussion today is going to be related to type 2 diabetes. The amount of people that are undiagnosed type 2 diabetics. And we're going to discuss more about the causes of type 2 diabetes, the symptoms, and if you are one perhaps of the 500,000 people in the UK who are undiagnosed type 2 diabetic, then you might relate to some of the symptoms perhaps, and that being the case, you might want to talk to your healthcare professional, which, as I mentioned, will be your local pharmacist or, in more serious cases, obviously, your doctor. So this morning, sugar. We spoke about sugar a few shows ago, and we spoke about hidden sugars in your food and in your drink. And I would just want to talk about the sugar in sugary drinks. Now, most people know that fizzy drinks are not particularly healthy for you, but many people don't realise how much sugar there is in fizzy drinks. So they reckon that in the UK we get around, 14.8 billion litres of soft drinks every year, which on average equates to 233 litres of fizzy drinks per person per year in the UK alone, which is quite scary. Now, fizzy drinks arguably have contributed hugely to the obesity crisis that we face, not just in this country, but in the Western world in general. And what I thought I'd do is I'd share with you just some numbers to make you think about what you are drinking, because there are plans. I'm not quite sure if they've been scrapped or not. I know they were in in process to impose this thing called a sugar tax. Now, I have a personal opinion on the sugar tax, and I think education is much more important than taxation. But for people who are really obsessed and addicted to sugary drinks, it might be a way to tackle the obesity crisis. Only time will tell. So, without mentioning particular brands, these are some numbers which might be quite an eye-opener for you. So these are per 500ml bottles. So cans, obviously, you can still buy cans of drink these days, and they are 330ml, but the 500ml bottles are becoming more and more popular. So certain brands of ginger beer per 500ml bottle have got around 80 grams of sugar in them. Now, when you equate a gram of sugar to a teaspoon, which obviously most people can relate to what a teaspoon of sugar is, if you divide the number roughly by about 4, it will give you an idea of actually how much physical sugar is in that particular drink or perhaps in that food that you're about to eat. So do read the food your food labels, and look at the ingredients of the food and drink that you're consuming, because it can be quite an eye-opener. So back to the ginger beer, around 80 grams of sugar, which is around 20 teaspoons of sugar. Certain cola-flavoured beverages are around 56 grams of sugar, which is about 14 teaspoons. Certain energy drinks, around the same as Coke, actually. Obviously, with energy drinks, you've got issues with other chemicals and caffeine and what have you. But certain energy drinks, around 56 grams per half a litre. So again, about 14 teaspoons. And lemonade is the same. What's really interesting is there's a certain brand of glucose drink that people have traditionally given to people in hospital. And I'm sure you know that what I'm talking about. Some of those actually have less sugar in them than these cola flavored drinks, which I thought was quite interesting. So they have around 11 teaspoons per 500ml, and even fizzy orange drinks are around 9 teaspoons. So as you can see, it's quite easy to over consume on sugar. The governmental guidelines suggest that we should be eating or consuming around 30 grams of added sugar per day. So that's 30 grams of sugar that we consciously put into food. But that 30 grams isn't a target. It's actually a maximum, which is quite frightening. That's only 7.5 teaspoons. So if you can imagine drinking this half a litre bottle of ginger beer and consuming 20 teaspoons in that one bottle, that's around 3 times the recommended maximum of added sugar that you should be consuming over an entire day. And most people will drink maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 of those. So you can see actually how the onset of diabetes has been a problem, and fizzy drinks have been an issue. And we are going to discuss type 2 diabetes a little bit later on in the show, because it has become a massive issue in this country. And so many people are developing type 2 diabetes, and quite a few people are undiagnosed type 2 diabetics, and they don't even realise they've got the illness. So that's fizzy drinks, but don't be fooled, because other drinks are also very high in sugar as well. So if you go to certain chains of coffee houses, there are some drinks that they serve that are as high as fizzy drinks. So things like certain coffee drinks, certain hot chocolate drinks are really, really high in sugar. I mean, we're talking 10, 15 teaspoons of sugar. And then if you look at people who have these drinks, they then add sugar to it. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So please do become educated about what you're eating, what you're drinking. Do read food labels. Look at the amount of sugar in what you're about to eat or drink. Divide the number by 4. And that will give you a rough number of how many teaspoons of sugar is in that particular food or drink. And then ask yourself, would you sit down and eat that amount of sugar? If you're about to drink that bottle of ginger beer and it's 20 teaspoons of sugar, would you sit down and physically eat 20 teaspoons of sugar? The answer is you probably wouldn't, because for most people that's quite disgusting. But actually, that's the effect that that drink is going to have on your body. So start making some smart choices. Start being accountable for what you eat and what you drink. Start reading food labels. And also, if you revisit a previous show from about a month ago, I spoke about sweeteners, artificial sweeteners. Don't be fooled that artificial sweeteners are a better choice, because actually there's research that has suggested that artificial sweeteners are a big contributor to diabetes as well. So my advice is stay away from this stuff altogether. Stop drinking the fizzy, sugary drinks, and avoid the artificial zero-calorie drinks as well. And you know what? Grab a glass of water or a bottle of water, because you can't go wrong with that. Okay, so we're going to go on to talk about type 2 diabetes after the next song. And I thought, to lead us into the subject of type 2 diabetes, we'd have a listen to Robbie Williams and a song from a few years ago that I think is one of his best songs, actually, but quite topical when talking about sugar and diabetes. It's Candy. That was Robbie Williams and Candy. Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you are all keeping well out there. I have with me my special guest this morning, Margaret Holvet. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Margaret is an expert in essential oils, and in about 15 minutes we'll be finding out more about what she does. If you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter handle is @Health Radio Show. using the hashtag hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. You're more than welcome to tweet in, to say hello, to ask a question, or if you'd like a shout out, if you've got any events coming up, I'm happy to promote those for you as well. On Facebook, if you go to Facebook and you search Health Radio Show, then you'll be able to find the show page there. Please do like and follow the show page. You'll be kept up to date with health tips and also what's coming on in future shows. And, yeah, it'd be good to hear from you. So tweet in or search me out on Facebook and we can communicate from there. So diabetes. How much do you know about diabetes? Did you know that of all the people in the UK that have diabetes, only 10% have what they call type 1. So we have two types of diabetes, type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. Now, type 1 diabetes, as I mentioned, only 10% of the people that have got diabetes in the UK have got type 1. And type 1 tends to be quite young onset. So you tend to develop it as a child or as a young adult. And type 1 tends to be hereditary, and it tends to be not lifestyle or diet related. So with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, the development causes and the way that they progress throughout your life are completely different. So type 1 is an autoimmune disease. So it means that your body actually attacks the cells of the pancreas, and the pancreatic cells, the beta cells that produce the insulin, actually stop working. And when they stop working, you then lose that ability to be able to manage your blood sugars, and you have to inject with insulin. And as I mentioned, that normally starts in childhood. But type 2 diabetes is completely different. Type 2 diabetes can happen naturally as you get older, where the pancreatic cells just start to wear out a little bit. They don't stop working, but they just start to become less effective. But generally speaking, for people under 50, under 60, type 2 diabetes, for the most part, tends to be lifestyle and diet related. So you end up with a thing called insulin resistance. Now, insulin resistance very simply means that your body has become almost immune to the insulin that your body is producing to deal with blood sugars. And when that happens, your blood sugars start to rise and you end up with a condition called hyperglycemia. So insulin resistance is a big problem, but also if you overwork your pancreatic cells, then they can become less effective as well, and they can just produce less insulin. That doesn't mean necessarily that type 2 diabetics get to a point where they have to inject, although in some severe types of type 2 diabetes or some severe cases, they do inject. But for the most part, most people with type 2 diabetes just need to manage their condition either through their diet or through medication. But as the blood sugar rises, a rise in blood sugar is actually incredibly dangerous. So whichever way you manage it, it does need to be managed. Now, it's thought that the more excess body fat or the more weight that a person carries, the less sensitive they become to the insulin that the body produces. And there was a particular case with a thing called visceral fat or abdominal fat, which is fat around the belly that creates insulin resistance. What is quite scary, actually, is type 2 diabetes used to be called the middle-aged person disease. But more and more under 25s these days are actually developing type 2 diabetes, which is obviously linked to the increase in things like sugary foods, which we obviously discussed a bit earlier this morning, processed foods, fast foods. There are cases of teenagers now and children, younger than teens, developing type 2 diabetes, which is very, very sad. So type 2 diabetes is very much linked to obesity, but it's also linked to high blood pressure and high cholesterol as well. And there is a condition called metabolic syndrome, which is quite an unpleasant mixture of being overweight, having high blood glucose, having high cholesterol and high blood pressure. And having those conditions all mixed into one is not a good thing. So type 2 diabetes is generally preventable. And if you have type 2 diabetes, there are cases where it has people have reversed it through diet and through exercise and through improving lifestyle. Medication obviously can help. I think medication is a short to medium term solution. I think if you can improve your diet, if you can improve your lifestyle, and you can lose some weight, that can really, really help conditions as well. So just to reiterate, type 1 diabetes has nothing to do with body weight or someone's lifestyle. It gets developed during childhood, and it's caused by your pancreatic cells being destroyed by your own immune system. And type 2 is where the body no longer produces either enough insulin — it's still ticking over, but there's not enough insulin in the system to become effective — or the pancreas is producing insulin, but your body cells have just become immune to it. So here's some interesting statistics. In 1996, there were 1.4 million type 2 diabetics in the UK. In 2005, that rose to 2.1 million. In 2016, that rose to 3.5 million. And it's estimated that early in the 2020s, there will be around 5 million type 2 diabetics in the UK. And 700 people per day are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. But what's quite frightening is, of the 4 million or so type 2 diabetics that we have in the UK at the moment, only around 3.5 million know that they are diagnosed type 2 diabetics. So there's 500,000 people out there, it's estimated, that are walking around with the symptoms of type 2 diabetes and have no idea that they've got it. And one of the things I will be covering in a few minutes is some of the symptoms. Now, obviously, some of these symptoms can be in isolation. So, for example, drinking a lot, if you're thirsty, you can just be thirsty, for example. But we may be able to go through some of these symptoms. And if you can identify with maybe two or three or more of them, then perhaps you should have a talk to your local pharmacist and get their advice, or perhaps have a talk to your doctor, because you may be one of the 500,000 undiagnosed type 2 diabetics in the UK. So what does diabetes do to the body? So yes, so blood sugar rises, which causes all sorts of systems in your body to go a bit haywire. But diabetes directly affects the heart, the eyes, the feet, and your nervous system, and also your kidneys as well. So when your blood sugar rises, it causes a narrowing of your blood vessels, which obviously then makes blood flow difficult, which then damages the heart muscle, and then the heart doesn't pump quite as efficiently as it should do. But as the higher blood sugar, as it hardens the arteries, that causes high blood pressure, and then high blood pressure then puts more strain on the heart. So people that are type 2 diabetics are more at risk for things like cardiovascular disease and heart attacks and what have you. If you've got high blood sugar, it can affect the eyes. So there's a thing called diabetic retinopathy, and if that's left untreated or undiagnosed, then that can lead to blindness. So next time you go and have your eyes checked — and most people have their eyes checked once every couple of years. When the optician checks your eyes for diabetes, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for abnormalities in the arteries and the capillaries in the eye, because that is a symptom of diabetes. And I've known of cases where people have gone to have their eyes checked who thought they weren't diabetic, and the optician's actually picked it up. So if you don't have your eyes checked on a regular basis, you probably should do. And the feet and nervous system. High blood sugar affects the nerves. It damages the nerves, so they don't work as effectively. So you lose sensation. You can get tingling, you can get burning, you can get numbness in the extremities, particularly in the feet as well. And there's been cases where diabetics have actually injured themselves and not felt the pain of the injury, and that's led to an infection, which then obviously has some more serious implications. So during the next decade, it's expected that deaths caused by complications related to diabetes will jump more than 50%. And between 50 and 80% of deaths in people who have diabetes are caused by cardiovascular disease. And what's quite fascinating is diabetes is very, very rarely put on death certificates. It's always the cause. So it might be a heart attack, it might be cardiovascular, it might be a stroke, it might be whatever caused the death of a person. But very few death certificates will actually have diabetes as the cause. But when you drill down, diabetes was the root cause of that person dying. So do take it seriously. It's a 20th century illness. As I said, 90% of people with diabetes are type 2, and type 2 is completely avoidable. So here are some of the symptoms. So again, you may feel that you've got some of these in isolation, and I don't want to worry you. If you have got a dry mouth, that's not a symptom of type 2 diabetes on its own. But if you can identify with maybe a few of these symptoms, perhaps it's worth having a chat to your healthcare professional. So here are some of the symptoms of type 2 diabetes. Increased thirst, increased hunger, dry mouth, going to the toilet a lot, especially at night, unexplained weight loss, and also weight gain as well. Itching down below, I won't go into detail on that one. Fatigue, headaches, blurred vision, when increased blood sugars, when your blood sugar increases, it affects the lens of the eye, which causes it to swell, and then that causes blurred vision. If you've got slow healing of your cuts and grazes, that can be a symptom as well. And also nausea and vomiting. So again, in isolation, these symptoms are not necessarily, don't necessarily steer towards type 2 diabetes diagnosis. But if you can identify with a few of those, then yeah, it might be worth a chat to a healthcare professional. Because if you are one of the 500,000 that are undiagnosed, it's better that you find out sooner rather than later. And actually, type 2 diabetes can go undiagnosed for up to 10 years. And in 10 years, that can do a lot of damage. So other things you need to consider if you've got a big belly. So ideally, your waistline should be half of your height. So if you're 6 foot tall, so 72 inches, ideally, you should have a waistline of 36 inches or less. And that's because visceral fat, belly fat, is a big contributor to insulin resistance. If you drink too many sugary drinks, we've covered sugary drinks this morning, but if you drink too many sugary drinks or drinks with artificial sweeteners in them, they can be damaging and can be a contributor. If you have a family history of diabetes, statistically that increases your risk as well. And if you lead quite a sedentary lifestyle and you don't exercise very much, then that can be a contributor as well. So prevention, if you haven't got type 2 diabetes, how do you prevent it coming on? So if you're carrying too much weight, specifically too much body fat and very specifically too much belly fat, then losing that belly fat will reduce your risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Improving your diet will help. So eat less sugar. Sugar is a big problem with diabetes. And eat less refined carbohydrates. So it's not always the sugar that we take as white table sugar, but things like white bread, some highly processed, highly refined foods. If you start reading food labels, you'll see that they are actually quite high in sugar as well. And do more exercise. Walk for a mile or two every day. Do high intensity interval training. So, doing the 4 minute, 5 minute intervals with a short rest in between. They can be really good for your cardiovascular system and also helping to reduce the risk of diabetes as well. So if you'd like to have a chat, you can contact me through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Drop me a line, give me a call. Helping clients with type 2 diabetes is one of the things that I specialise in. I help them to manage their blood sugars, to manage their diet. I help them to lose weight as well. And there's a lot of preventative work that I do for people that haven't got type 2 diabetes. So if that's of interest to you, find my website, drop me a line. And if you decide that you want to manage your own conditions, if you have type 2 diabetes at the moment, or you're unsure and you think that you might possibly be one of the undiagnosed, then have a chat to your healthcare practitioner, which I said your first stop should be your local pharmacist, to not put too much pressure on the doctor's, the GP system at the moment. But obviously you can chat to your GP as well. So I hope you found that of interest. He found it useful. It's a big problem. It's going to grow. And I'd like to think that I can help educate people to either help them manage their condition or hopefully, for those of you that don't have diabetes, to stop it happening in the first place. So before we go on to our guest interview with Margaret, time for one quick song. And as I mentioned, Margaret is a specialist in essential oils. And as a seamless link to what Margaret does, we have a song by Midnight Oil called Beds Are Burning, and I hope you enjoy it.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and
interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. You can contact the show on Twitter. The Twitter handle is @HealthRadioShow with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. And you can find the show on Facebook as well if you search Health Radio Show. So do tweet in, do say hi, do ask for a shout out or ask a question that I'll try to answer on air. Otherwise, I will research between shows and I will come back to you at the next show with the answer to your question. So after midnight oil, beds are burning, we have an oil specialist with us this morning. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
And how are you this morning?
Very, very well. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. And Margaret is a specialist, as I mentioned, in essential oils, what they are and what they can do for the body. So we're going to find out more about what Margaret does, a bit more about her background, a bit more about the oils that she promotes, and also how they may be able to help you. And perhaps there's some symptoms that you've got that you can associate with as we go through the interview. And then you can make contact with Margaret to see if she can help you. So let's start at the beginning, Margaret. What is your background and how did you get into doing what you do?
My background, I've always been, well, from a health point of view, always interested in being proactive about it, keeping my fitness levels up, eating as well as possible. Uh-huh. Having had 20 years in France, I enjoy using natural cooking from food rather than just heating something up in a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And oils. Oils came into my life through a friend who suffered from a hiatus hernia and acid reflux and was on a lot of prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And was still suffering the acid reflux and was trying to keep it under control. And she started using peppermint, certified pure therapeutic grade peppermint oil. And all she did was to put two drops maybe on her finger and suck her finger.
Okay.
And that actually brought down the acid reflux. It calmed it and brought it down. And so gradually over the next 2 months or so, she was using the oils more and came completely off her prescription medication. So this blew me away. I thought, well, okay, I don't have a hiatus hernia, but these oils are fantastic. And you can have them in your life without, you know, just so that you can be, for your health, your well-being, the protective blend, you can diffuse that to keep away the microbes, the bugs and everything, or you can pop a few drops of it on the feet of your kids when they're going to school so mm-hmm. that they don't come back with the colds and things like that. So, yeah, essential oils, I just love them now.
And actually, acid reflux is a very common problem. I used to suffer with it myself, and you know, people think it's just heartburn, and it's so not heartburn. It's so, yeah. It's almost debilitating in some cases. And unfortunately, you know, we do live in this society where when we go to the doctors, we expect a prescription, and if we don't get one, we feel disappointed. And you know, the drugs that we live in an age of amazing advances in medical science, but with drugs come side effects. Generally speaking, most people don't read the packaging that comes with the drugs, and in fact, if you read the packaging, you probably wouldn't even take paracetamol because the side effects potentially are quite scary. But the good thing, obviously, about essential oils is there are no side effects. So they're completely natural.
They're completely natural. There are, especially if they're certified pure therapeutic grade ones, you can ingest those ones.
Okay, so there are different grades.
There are different gradings, and it is quite normal for people to for labelling to say it is a pure oil,
yep.
But it can contain legally up to 90% of fillers and chemical fillers. So you need to be careful on the grading. But certified pure therapeutic oils are definitely what I would suggest anyway.
Okay.
And they're so versatile. It's not a case of one oil for one ailment. So peppermint, for example, we were talking about that for the hiatus hernia or for heartburn. It can also be used for headaches, for soothing and relaxing, but also for energizing. It can help bring down temperature levels if you're really, really hot. my partner this summer, we'd been out in the mini with the roof open.
Yep.
And when we got back in the late afternoon, I said, are you feeling all right? Because he sort of seemed to be very white and not well. And he said, oh God, I'm not feeling well at all. I'm feeling really hot. So I think he had he'd caught a bit of the sun, because he's bald. So he caught the sun, and I said, well, look, put some peppermint oil on, because it's good for soothing.
Yep.
He put it on his head. He went, because the oil had an instant effect. But then suddenly he went, and it just disappeared, because the oils, when applied topically, they do go straight through into the area that you're treating.
Okay. Yeah.
So they need to be you need to put them with a carrier oil if you're using them with babies or with children.
So what's a carrier oil?
A carrier oil can be anything like, we use fractionated coconut oil, but it can be jojoba oil or any oil that dilutes the actual essential oil itself.
Okay.
So if you were wanting to bring down the temperature of a child, you would put carrier oil on the spine, for example, and then a few drops of essential oil, and that would help bring down the temperature.
There you go. I see, I'm learning so much about essential oils. I think I've learned more in the last 10 minutes than I have in my entire life. It's fascinating. So you mentioned about there's different grades, and some are certified and some are not. How can you tell which are certified and which aren't?
Basically, it will say certified pure therapeutic grade is above medicinal grade. So it will say that on it.
On the label.
On the label. Mm-hmm. If it says do not ingest, you know that is not a pure oil.
So
it's as simple as that.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah. So what successes have you had with your clients? So obviously you mentioned about your partner.
Also, somebody else, sleep issues.
Okay.
And notably, her partner was snoring.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a young teacher and was finding it really, she got really tired going into school the next day because she would be suffering from lack of sleep. So I suggested the respiratory blend that we do, just to inhale it. They didn't have a diffuser, so he simply put a few drops in the palms of his hands, cupped them round his nose and inhaled before going to bed. She sampled it, because we give out samples so people can try it out. Everybody's body chemistry is different, so it might be that different oils will have a better effect than others. And so he sampled it, and she got the best night's sleep ever. She thought afterwards, she said to me, is it a fluke? So they tried it again the next night. He didn't snore. She slept. She was taking sleeping tablets. It had got to point.
Yeah.
So a great, great alternative to over-the-counter medicines.
Brilliant.
Absolutely fabulous things. Brilliant. I'm passionate about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that passion comes across. And we were talking before the show as well, and you mentioned about things like digestive issues and people with headaches and migraines. I mean, what sort of oils would you suggest for those sorts of disorders?
So peppermint, obviously, for headaches, or lavender even with the peppermint. The peppermint acts as a driver on your temples, across the forehead, or at the back of your neck.
Yep.
The digestive issues, we've also got a digestive blend. If peppermint doesn't work, the other blend might.
Mm-hmm.
Sinusitis, respiratory blend, you can even apply it to the sinuses to get rid of the sinusitis.
Okay.
Lavender on the soles of your feet. We've also got a serenity blend if the lavender doesn't do it. As I say, everyone's body chemistry is different, so it's a case of sampling the different oils. And we hold classes. I hold classes. These can be at my house or at yours or online. And to learn more about the ones that are best, our core oils that can be the best for everybody, for your family's health, not just your own.
Fantastic. So, yeah. And we also, you know, on that theme of diabetes, we were talking about the issues people have with type 2 diabetes and having dry skin. Because type 2 diabetes affects the nerves, which then affects the glands that are responsible for perspiration. People with type 2 diabetes, their feet tend to dry out and become cracked. And when your skin cracks, it becomes more susceptible to infection, bacterial infection. And we were saying that there were some oils that can help just to keep the skin moist in those sorts of situations as well.
Yep, for cracked, where it's actually cracked and split, so it's almost like an open wound, you can use myrrh.
Yep.
And myrrh is also very good for dry and cracked skin.
Yep.
I don't think it was a fluke that the kings, the three wise men, brought myrrh and frankincense.
Yep. Yep.
Because that was the best healthcare plan that was available to bring to a young baby in a stable that's just been born in a stable.
And also, when you think about that, they were probably walking around in sandals as well.
Very true.
So
Good for their
feet. So tell me, Margaret, what are your plans for next year, for 2018?
Help more people discover about essential oils and how they can help so that they can use them before going to over-the-counter drugs. So it's empowering people to look after their own family's health and their own health naturally. I'm going to also be getting certification from our company,
yep.
or essential oil company, to use the aroma touch technique to actually massage with the oils so that I can actually help people and bring relief to them.
Brilliant. Fantastic. So you mentioned some of the symptoms. So I think it's key to go over these again. So when we talk about your ideal client, what sort of symptoms, just to reiterate, the sorts of symptoms that people might be able to identify with that potentially essential oils can help with?
So it could be for sleep disorders, to help prevent snoring,
okay.
Heartburn, digestive issues, hiatus hernias, muscle and joint pain. So anything that hurts the joints, the aches, the headaches, the migraines, the sinusitis, anything in that area we can help with.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you so much. So if people want to make contact with you, what's your social media details? What's your website address?
Yes, I'm on Facebook. My page is Margaret's Natural Solutions, and there's a linked group to that, so you can just go to the page and then ask to join the group, which is a nice safe place to chat and learn more about natural living. My phone number 07903 525 843, and my website is www.margaretholvek.com.
Excellent. And what we'll do as well is we'll put some of those links up on the show's page as well, so people can find you through the show page.
That'd be brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Margaret. It's been fascinating to talk to you this morning, and it's been great to learn more about essential oils, what they can do for people and how you can help them. And we had a tweet in from Ben Siggins in Ashford. So Ben Siggins are an estate agent in Ashford, and a good friend of mine called Chris runs the office there, and he's put a great show so far. And interesting about the oils. So there you
go.
Feedback from Chris there. So thanks again, Margaret. And what we'll do is at the end of the show, we'll just reiterate your contact details. And if people want to get hold of you, then obviously they can make contact and hopefully you'll be able to help them. But thank you again.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. You should take it as a compliment that I got drunk and made fun of the way you talk. Should think about the consequence of your magnetic field being a little too strong. And I got a boyfriend, he's older than I.
your face. And I'm so furious at you for making me feel this way. But what can I say? You're gorgeous. You should take it as a compliment that I'm talking to everyone here but you. Should think about the consequence of you touching my hand in the darkened room. If you got a girlfriend, I'm jealous of her. But if you're single, that's honestly worse. 'Cause you're so gorgeous, it actually hurts. Ocean blue eyes, looking in mine. I feel like I might sink and drown and die. So happy it turns back to sad. There's nothing I hate more than what I can't have. Guess I'll just stumble on home to my cats. Alone. Unless you wanna come along. You're so gorgeous. I can't say anything to your face. 'Cause look at your face.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
That was Taylor Swift and her latest song, Gorgeous. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. We're coming up to the last 5 minutes of the show now, and I've had my special guest on me with me today, Margaret Holvec, who has been discussing essential oils and what they can do for the body. Now, a week or two ago, I was discussing the morning after the night before, and I went into some detail about how alcohol acts in the body and how long the alcohol can stay in your system for. And as I mentioned, if you drink and drive, I'm afraid, in my opinion, you know, you deserve what you get. However, lots of people are very responsible. They will go to a party, they'll drink, you know, a fair amount, and then they will get a cab home or they'll sleep over and they will make a conscious effort not to drive home. However, they will then jump in the car 8, 10, 12 hours later in the morning and go out and drive. And actually, you need to be aware that you can still be over the legal drink drive limit. Anything up to 12, 18, sometimes 24 hours after you've stopped drinking the night before. So as a rough rule of thumb, you should allow an hour per unit. So a bottle of wine is about 9 to 10 units, and a strong glass of beer, pint of beer, is 3 or 4 units. You should allow an hour per unit at least before you even think about getting back in the car. And there are some myths around alcohol that I'd like to just bust and go over again. Things like sobering up. You cannot sober up more quickly. The only thing that helps you to sober up is time, okay? Coffee doesn't make you sober up. A cold shower doesn't make you sober up. The only thing that gets alcohol out of your system is time. You can't trick breathalyzers. So people that have a Polo mint, other mints are available, or they suck on a penny. Believe it or not, that's one of the myths that are going around. Or you drink lots and lots of water, it won't fool a breathalyzer, because the amount of alcohol in your blood will stay consistent. And also some quick tips If you're going to go out drinking during the party season, don't go out and party on an empty stomach. Make sure you eat before you start drinking alcohol. Know your limits and set a limit to a maximum of what you're prepared to drink. Pace yourself. Don't drink more than one alcoholic drink per hour. Drink a large glass of water between each alcoholic drink and keep a ratio of 1:1. So 1:1, one glass of water, one alcoholic drink. Drink a large glass of water before you go to bed because that helps to offset dehydration. Don't drive at all. If you're going to drink, just don't drive. Okay, there is no safe limit. And even if you are under the limit, if the police think that alcohol had an influence in an accident, then you could be in a lot of trouble. So if you are drinking, just don't get behind the wheel. And just to be safe, if you've had a really heavy night and you've been, you know, you've drunk quite a lot of alcohol, then just don't drive the day after. You know, it's no coincidence that the police are around and about the morning, on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings and Monday mornings, because they're catching people who have drunk heavily the night before and have got in the car and gone down the shops, or they've gone to work thinking they're okay because they feel okay, but their blood alcohol levels suggest otherwise. So do remember that you can still be over the limit the morning after the night before. Don't drink and drive. Don't jump in the car if you've drunk a lot the night before, and allow at least an hour per unit. And if you have a really heavy night, that can be anything up to 24, sometimes 36, maybe even 48 hours. It's not worth the risk. So I would like to thank you for listening to the show this morning. We have discussed sugars in fizzy drinks and also in hot beverages. We've also discussed type 2 diabetes, what it is, what it does to the body, and some symptoms that you might be able to associate with that might trigger perhaps a conversation with your healthcare practitioner. We've discussed natural oils and essential oils with Margaret this morning. And just to reiterate Margaret's contact details, on Facebook, it's Margaret's Natural Solutions. Margaret's phone number is 07903-525-843. And Margaret, just remind me what your website address is.
www.margaretholvec.com.
Super. And if there's some symptoms that you can associate with what Margaret's been discussing and how essential oils might be able to help, then you can make contact with her. I'll also post her contact details up on the show's Facebook and Twitter feed as well. And all that remains for me to say is I'd like to thank you for listening. If you need any help in the new year, if your resolution is to lose some weight, then give me a shout. Or if you've got digestive issues or you want help with type 2 diabetes, find me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can listen to this show again on i-nutrition.co.uk/media. And you can also listen to previous shows as well. And I'm also looking for guests in January and February who would like to come on the show, as Margaret's done this morning, and just explain a bit more about what they do and how they can help people. So thank you once again. Thank you to Margaret for coming in. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have any feedback on the show, please drop me a line on Twitter or on Facebook. And the next show will be back on Monday, the 8th of January, because next week is Christmas Day and the following Monday is New Year's Day. And guess what? I won't be working. So I'll see you all again on the 8th of January. I hope to hear from some of you in the meantime via the Facebook page and my website. And stay healthy. Have a great time. And I will speak to you again and see you in January.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. Out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found the
take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. So beautiful.